Now, glorifying God, we said a couple weeks ago, is man's chief end. Man, we're to glorify God and experience that for our entire life. Today, as I said, I want to look at reflecting God's glory. Glorifying Him is one thing. Reflecting His glory is another. And I'm just going to give you three different things that we can look at to say these are ways that we can reflect God's glory. A couple weeks ago when I talked about putting on the old man, or putting on the new man, and the old man is dead, I also said when we do that, it says we are Christ's ambassadors. Not we may be if we sign up for the job. Not if the job's open, we got it. No, we got it. We are. Church, we don't have a choice. We are Christ's ambassador. We represent Him. Therefore, it should be second nature to reflect God's glory. Amen? We're His ambassadors. We have to reflect Him. Without training, practice, without being intentional in our life to learn what that looks like, when a situation arises, we rely on what? We rely on the flesh. And that part of us takes over. And we have to get it to be second nature where the spirit part of us takes over. Redundancy training. So it becomes second nature. My boss has told me multiple times, redundancy training is where it is. He said, I pay an awful lot of money to send our pilots to safety training twice a year, not just once. He said, we do it twice a year at a great expense to the company. He said, you know why we do that? I'd heard it before, so I cheated and said, yes. So it becomes second nature. He said, exactly. I remembered he told me, but he didn't. But it becomes second nature. He said, I don't want to get up in the air and have a problem and have them start going, uh-oh, what do we do here? It becomes second nature. Christians, do we come across problems in our life? Issues? Yes, we do. We have to make it second nature how we respond when those things arise. Second nature. Our prayers often end with something like, God, in the end, we'll give you the glory no matter what. The end comes, it's favorable for us. Woohoo! I'm sorry, God, I forgot to give you glory because I just went off and celebrated the victory. But I didn't give you the glory for that. Or we say, hey, I'll give you the glory no matter what. And it doesn't go our way. Lord, you healed me or you didn't. Glory to you. Lord, you delivered me or Lord, you didn't. Glory to you. I remember in Ground Zero, we were talking about Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 3, 17 and 18, he says, our God whom we serve... Let's note first, our God who we serve. So they're serving God. It becomes second nature to be a servant. I will glorify God by loving others and serving others. Our God whom we serve, it says, is able. Now, is means that God can or cannot or may not. But he said, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But he goes on and says, but he will deliver us from your hand. Talking to the king. They said, man, in the very beginning of Daniel, it said, Daniel purposed in his heart. He was going to follow Jesus or follow God. He was going to serve God, be faithful to him no matter what. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand. God had spoken to him about the king. He will deliver us from your hand no matter what. But he said he's able to deliver us from the furnace. And then Daniel added in the but. But if not, if he doesn't deliver us from the fiery furnace, he said, let it be known to you, O king, we also will not serve your gods, the little g, your gods, nor will we worship the gold image that you made and set up. You see, God, if you deliver me from this, God, if you heal me of this, God, if you allow me, God, if you protect me, but if not, let it be known that we will not worship your gods, nor the image you made and the image you set up. I've told a story here before. A young lady that my wife and I worked with got married, and we went to her wedding. Her and her twin sister got married in the same ceremony. Great Christian family. Married a fine young man who also worked for me for a while. At a church outing up at Lake Arcadia, one of the young kids got in trouble out in the water, and her husband went out to save him. And the young child survived, and the husband passed away. He drowned. And at the service, she stood up there in this huge church up in North Oklahoma City. Seats all around. Hundreds and hundreds of people there. Active in the youth group. Lots of young people. And she stood up there and she said, "I am praying for a resurrection of my husband. And I know it's possible." Her father was a pastor. And he said, "I love my daughter. I love my daughter." And he said, "Honey, I'm asking you, if God does not allow that to take place, will you still serve him?" Now, I can't imagine being asked that in the middle of a service, the funeral of her husband. And she looked at her dad and she said, "I will. I will serve him." The resurrection did not come. And she continues to serve him to this day with her new husband, his pastors, and their children, following the faith, serving a God that she trusted no matter what the outcome. Number one, you thought, man, is he getting to these 3 points? We've got to go through that stuff. Number one, trust God. Daniel trusted God, our God who is able. "But even if not, we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the image that you made." Trust God. Daniel trusted God no matter what. Think of the Bible and the people in it that trusted God no matter what their future was that they didn't know. Abraham, Paul, Joseph, David. But I thought, what about that thief on the cross? Oh, just a few weeks back, we talked about that young man. He trusted God, not having any idea what was going to happen. He knew his future, in a matter of minutes or hours at least, was certain death. And he trusted God. And Jesus told him, "Tonight you will be with me in paradise." We have to trust God no matter what we're facing, no matter what the future looks like. You know, and we talk about, you've got to submit to Him wholly and completely, and trust Him wholly and completely. But all I ever do is go back to the Bible story that tells us about the young man who said, "My child is dying." And Jesus simply asked him, "Hey, do you believe?" What was his answer? He said, "Yes, I believe." But he had a big but in there. "But, Lord, help my unbelief." So many times we want to trust and we want to believe. But there's a portion of us from just being on this earth that says, "I trust, but man, I'm just not certain that's going to happen." But trusting in the Lord is different than trusting in little Johnny or little Susie or whatever. "Well, they said they'd..." Well, they were supposed to. They told me they would always. they told me they would never. Our affliction is this flesh that we're embodied in. And that causes us to let people down. And it causes us to let people down. To be let down and let people down. But God says, you've got to trust me. And by the way, when I start out with that beautiful masterpiece, it doesn't look like much. It looks like a blank canvas. It looks like a piece of odd-shaped clay. But he says, I know what you're going to look like in the end. And it's going to be a masterpiece. And you have to trust me. Number one, trust God. Number two, confess sin. Okay. Let's see. Reflecting God's glory. By confessing sin? When we confess our sin, God's glory is reflected by declaring His righteousness. In Psalm 51, I was just going to read a small excerpt, but I thought, no, this ties into so many things. Psalm 51 says this, and it's a prayer of repentance from David. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. He said, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. And then I love this verse. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And behold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. And it's powerful. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Are we missing joy? But I love that it says, uphold me by your generous spirit, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. He's calling us to do that as well. So when we confess sin, and by the way, David calls sin many different things, transgressions, iniquity, sin, he calls it that. But he also says, man, God, I'm not going to forget you, and I'm going to reflect your glory. And this, because he said, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak. We've got to remember that when God speaks, that he is found just to our ears and blameless when you judge. When he judges us, we've got to remember, we've got to hold him blameless. Doggone free will that allows us to choose what we do. Number two, confess sin. Reflects the glory of God. Number three, forgive others. Forgive others. That's tough. That is tough to do. You know, many of you know my sister's son was killed. And she asked me to come do the prayer at one of their events they have for homicide survivors. And I took a challenging one to a group of family members that talked about you've got to forgive if you're a Christian. I said, I know it's tough for some of you to hear. But we've got to do it. He calls us to do it. And I hear people on the news. I've heard my sister say it. I see it on YouTube. I cannot forgive them. I will not forgive them. And I've told you before, different times, Eric and I were up in Manford, Oklahoma, taking a course with a Free Methodist up there when I got the news. And Eric was driving home, and we were driving past some burned out forest. And I remember just staring out the window, and I looked at Eric and I said, I don't know the circumstances, Eric, but I forgive this person because I can't hold it against them. I had freedom. And our desire is for others to have that freedom that we get to experience. And when we're unable to do that, it keeps us in the prison. But number three, to glorify God and to reflect His glory is to forgive others. If we look at the scripture that we just read, there's many different words that David uses in that. Blot out, wash, cleanse, renew, purge. We show God's compassion for us and His eagerness to forgive us. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. It simply says, forgive. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Forgive. Now we could stop it at that, but it says, forgive and you will be forgiven. But many of the things we talked about today are tough for Christians. Loving others. Those that don't know Christ can be evil and horrible to us. God, your word is asking us to love them. You're asking us to turn the other cheek. David, when he speaks in verse 1 and 2, blot out my transgressions. Lord, forgive me. Blot them out. And he reminds God of His multitude of tender mercies. Verse 2 says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. More on verse 2. Cleanse me from my sin. My sin is always before you. I did this in your sight. But over in verse 10, God, I want you to forgive me. I want you to create in me a clean heart. Lord, let me start anew. And I'm telling you that our God is able to create a clean heart in us. He is able to renew a right spirit within us. He is able to keep the Holy Spirit within us, remaining in us. He is able to restore the joy of His salvation. He is able to uphold you by His generous Spirit, which will allow you to teach transgressors His ways, and sinners shall be converted to Him. Just like an ambassador. Man, we're going to reflect Your glory. See, You've forgiven me, God. Now I can forgive others. I can forgive transgressors. I can teach them all about You and Your ways. My goodness. We'll have restoration. We'll have salvation. We'll have baptism. And the church will grow. I don't care what's on the menu. Have you tasted the food? I can't remember what it's called, but I know it's the number two. God, I need the number one. I need to trust You. And my spouse, she said she wanted the number three. She needed to forgive others. And I guess, you know, just for a snack, let's get number two, a confession of sin to take home with us. God, I can't remember where it is in Your Word, but I know Your Word says it. And God, when something arises, I don't want to come back and say, I don't know what to do in this situation. I remember three things. Adam said I got to do three things. What is it? What is it, man? God's Word says, He tells me to trust Him. If I could just remember that little rascal's name that was going to go through some furnace. And I can't remember his three friends' name, but I think one drove a Winnebago. And I don't know how to get in there. But God, I know that it said He's able, but He may not do it. But man, I'm still going to serve God in the end. Joseph, my gosh, his family turned on him. He served the Lord. I can't remember where these things are, God. But if You can help me just grab a couple things each time I come in, let me focus on that. Let me trust You. Let me confess my sin. God, what's that third one? He just said it. What is it, God? Oh, yeah, I got to forgive others. Oh, God, if I can just get up each day and remember, I, Adam, will glorify God by loving others, serving others, and, oh, what's that third thing again? That number three always escapes me. Lord, help me discover what that number three is for me. If nothing else, let it be an encouragement to others. I'll close with this as the band comes up. Reflecting God's glory is about setting your lamp on a lampstand. It's allowing others to see from a distance and others to experience that light. My wife and I, this last weekend, met a couple, and just through our brief interaction with them, they called us. And they said, by any chance, do you have a camper or an RV? I thought, oh, Lord, they're trying to sell us their camper or RV. I said, no, we do not. Man, would you consider getting one? You see, we have a camper. And we love camping with other Christian couples. Wow, I love it. Why do I tell that story? It's letting our light shine. Two things happened in that situation. My wife and I allowed our light to shine, and it was something that they were attracted to. It allowed their light to shine, which was something we were attracted to. And then last week, Eric was talking about the mother of the two guys and her boldness. And I thought the boldness of this lady to call us and say, would you consider doing that? You buying it for us? And no. But I thought, how great is that? We just love meeting other Christian couples, and we like camping with them, and it's just so fun. And we just want to extend that invitation. I thought that's powerful. That's powerful. I pray today that we have boldness to do two things. To let our light shine to others. Adam, I just told you, I can't remember those three things. You just said them, I can't remember them. Can you remember one of them? Let your light shine before others. And then have boldness to talk to others about that light or about the light you see in them. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I just pray today, Lord, that we see you and experience you in a different way. God, that we know how to glorify you by loving others, serving others, and then finding our unique part to help them as well. God, today, just taking that a step further. How can we reflect your glory and be a brighter light and a greater light to others that we come in contact with? And let us trust in you. Rather than complaining about situations we're going through to co-workers and family members, in the midst of it, let us tell them, but let them see us trusting and relying on you. Lord, help us to confess our sin. To reflect your glory through your righteousness. And then help us to forgive others. Lord, while we're in the midst of doing that, help us to forgive ourselves. Help us to get ourselves off the hook. Lord, I pray that these things are small steps to helping us become Christ ambassadors and glorifying you in our actions and our words. Lord, help remind us of these as we go out this week. In Jesus' name, amen.